Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And on our show, we like to take a deeper dive into local issues, local topics, anything you hear about, maybe you know a little bit about, but you want to learn more about, you want to get to the bottom of it, or you just want to have a more in-depth conversation about it. And recently, we have been doing a series on all of the local judges here in the 13th Judicial District. And we've had a few on so far, and the goal here is just to get folks, the listeners, to understand what judge does what and exactly how the judicial system works. Now, you may not know all the answers when we get done, but at least you'll have a good idea. And two, I want to just bring awareness to the judges who serve. It is a long time commitment, and it is a large region to serve. And so I think it's just a good idea to get to know these folks because I think they do a phenomenal job. So with that being said, with us today is a circuit court judge part two, which we'll get into later, Judge Jonathan Young. Judge Young, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm glad you could join us today. So tell us, let's get started first. Let's just talk about Judge Jonathan Young. Tell me a little bit about you. Where are you from? What got you into law? Just a little bit about, let's get to know you a little bit. How about that?
All right. Well, I was born and raised in Monterey, up on the hill, went to school there. Graduated and then went to school at Tennessee Tech, graduated from there, and then went on to the University of Memphis School of Law. As far as what got me into law, probably everyone in my family grew up to be a mechanic or something like that. So
it makes sense for you to get into law.
Yeah, exactly. So most of the time, basically, that was where I thought I was heading, and still sort of that's sort of how I like to relax is going, tearing something apart and trying to put it back together again. But
cool.
It actually got me started in law. I was probably seventh, eighth grade in school, and my grandfather had retired from the, he'd owned a record service, John Lee Tays in Monterey, owned a record service and garage up there forever. And he sold his little wrecker, to a guy in Cookeville. And, the guy then wanted to bring it back, and my grandpa said, well, it was as is where it is, and then brought a lawsuit against my grandfather, who'd, been honest as the day is long, and basically said all of these things were wrong with the vehicle and doing that, and then went to court, and my grandfather actually lost, which was very surprising. And I remember coming out, and the lawyer, I don't even remember who the lawyer was, says, well, I won the last case, so it was my turn to lose this time. And, that just sort of sit with me that's not the way things should work.
No.
Basically the law and the facts are there. And then when I got to investigating, and unfortunately, they say, what would you like to change about the justice system? Well, it'd be to help poor people more because it's still slanted heavily.
Stacked against them. Huh?
Stacked against the poor people. So I tried to do that. And then went to law school, didn't have a clue what I was doing, got dropped off in the middle of Memphis and just, made it through and came back and started practicing with Bill Cameron, which was a godsend to me because Bill basically said, go up and argue and scream and do what you think is right, and we'll be back here behind you. At the time, Randy Chaffin was in the office too, and they basically got me from a backwoods redneck from Monterey into being a halfway decent lawyer in a few years. So I still thank him greatly for that. But it's just been a long, strange journey since then.
Well, it's a good story. We're meeting with Judge Jonathan Young today on Local Matters, Circuit Court Judge of the 13th Judicial District. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but I have trouble saying that. 13th Judicial District. And yes. I've had trouble on every segment so far that we've had. So I have to slow down when I start to reintroduce. So, Judge, when you went to Memphis, went to law school, did you have an idea then? I mean, if you wanted to specialize any sort of law, or were you just there to learn?
Honestly, I didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
you know, I was down there and there were people who came from lawyer families and they, you know, did all this stuff. I didn't have a clue. The first day, you know, they said, look to the left of you, look to the right of you. One of those people won't be sitting with you at the end of the 3 years. And really, honestly, I thought it was probably going to be me that wasn't going to be there. it was a wonderful experience. Law school, a lot of people, you know, I mean, it was tough. It was tough, but it was a wonderful experience. It's probably the closest thing back to high school that you can think of.
Oh, really?
Because you start with there's like 150 people who started in my class. And for 3 years, you ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with those people, mm-hmm. you know, and they were, it's just sort of like high school again. And you make such great friendships that still have, you know, and the good thing is I know lawyers all over the nation now because we went to law school together. So
it does seem like a lot more of a high school atmosphere just because you kind of grow up through those 3 years together and you don't go, you know, undergrad, you go your separate ways and
right.
you start in this class and you have a different major and you might not see those folks again. But that would be neat. You know, I think that would be pretty
cool. It is a neat experience, and I think that's one of the perks of going to a law school like Memphis or UT or something like that that I think some of the not law students don't get because they drive down, take a class, jump in the car, and come back. Now, I think you get a good education at the Nashville School of Law. I just think that part of the law school experience is kind of missing.
Just a different experience. Huh?
Right.
So was the plan always to come back to Cookeville area?
It's basically I had no other plan, so it was that sort of.
So it was at least the fallback.
Sort of the way it worked out, and I actually it sort of became fate because when I was in college, I took a internship class, and you had to go work with a governmental agency, and they put me in touch with David Brady at the Public Defender's Office. So I went and interned with them for a summer and really enjoyed working for them. And then when I was in law school, Mr. Brady called Mr. Cameron and said, hey, I've got this young kid you need to talk to. And it sort of just worked out from there. So
it was the connection from the internship.
It was. It was the connection from the internship. And just, you know, because, you know, I have no connections then or now. That I could do. So that was my one connection to do that.
Well, I think that's a neat story. I mean, seeing what your grandfather went through and you know, I've that would be powerful, you know, and a reason like that is pretty neat, you know, to try to stick up for somebody that, you know, he didn't really, I mean, your grandfather probably didn't know what he was doing as far as the court system.
No, my grandfather was illiterate. I mean, you know, he couldn't read or write. He could sign his name. And he was the reason that I went to college in the first place is because he said, you know, and this phrase always stuck with me, an education is the only thing that you can get that people can't ever take away from you, you know.
Yep.
And he knew because the reason he got out was his age one, but the cars were becoming so complicated that a journeyman mechanic like him couldn't work on them anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the wreckers that he had, the cars were becoming all plastic, so you couldn't pull and wrench on them like you could with his stuff. So now we have all the fancy rollbacks and stuff like that. So we kind of change, and now we've got law worry quoting cases from 200 years ago. But
yeah.
Some things change and some things don't. But
yeah. So tell us a little bit about what made you decide to run for judge after however many years of practice in law were you before?
Well, I was at Cameron and Young then for 15 years and really loved my job. I really loved being an attorney and really had no aspirations of being a judge. There were some openings. Judge Burns was retiring and some people called me and I said, no, I'm. You know, I knew some of the guys that were running, and I said I'd rather them run than me. And David Blady was thinking about retiring, and they said, well, why don't you run for that? And I was like, no, I kind of, you know, like I said, I love being a lawyer. And then finally, kind of out of the blue, Judge Maddox retired, and I called a good friend of mine that's an attorney up in Crossville, and I said, hey, you'd make a great circuit court judge. And he says, well, I was about to call you and tell you the same thing. And I said, well, I don't know.
Would y'all
do
rock, paper, scissors? Well, that's, to run?
Eventually, that's sort of what it came down to. And I got all these phone calls from alleged friends that were telling me that I should run and how much they would help me during the campaign, which, as you know, during the campaign, don't count on anyone else helping you except maybe your spouse.
And maybe your mom and dad.
Yeah, maybe mom and dad. Yeah, my dad, my mom, and my spouse were there through it all. My sister, she was my treasurer. So if they're not related to you by blood or marriage, don't really count on them. But so we did it. We didn't know what we were doing, kind of like going to law school. We were just bumping in the wind and buying things and spending money and seeing people. But you know, a lot of people don't like campaigning, but I thought it was great because, you know, being a lawyer, you like to help people, but you only see the people who come into your door. But going kind of out in our community, you get to learn, you know, I didn't know that parts of White County existed that were up there.
How many pancake breakfasts?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, pancakes and
Chili
and barbecue. Barbecue seems to be the favorite around here.
Yes.
So we ate our weight in all of that. So, but we got to meet so many good people. So it was a really positive experience. And you know, I think some of the judges in the other states get appointed and are there, but I think being elected is a good thing because I think we have to follow the law and the facts of the case, but I think just sort of getting the pulse of the people. It's always a good thing.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but after the campaign ended in August of my campaign, I don't think I ate barbecue until that was in 14. I didn't eat barbecue again. I know at least until 2015.
Yeah, it was a good time. We kind of skimped on the barbecue. You wouldn't know it by looking at me, but we sort of
me either.
We sort of cut back on the barbecue, and it was sort of a funny story. The Saturday after the election, because, you know, when you're running in seven counties, as you know, there's always 10 or 15 events on a Saturday.
Oh,
and
yes.
You start about 6 o'clock in the morning. And my wife, she was wonderful on this. She would make a sheet of all the events that were happening those days. And I'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes she would go with me and sometimes she wouldn't. And I'd grab my little sheet and I'd be out the door and, you know, I'd maybe see her about 9:30, 10 o'clock that night. Well, the Saturday after the election, I jump up out of bed and I reach over for my sheet and I'm in panic mode, you know, and I look over at my wife and I said, honey, I can't find my sheet. And she said, dummy, you won. Shut up. Come back to bed. And I was like, oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Thanks. So, it's definitely was an experience.
It was. We're meeting today with, Judge Jonathan Young, Circuit Court Judge, 13th Judicial District. And when we return from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about exactly what the circuit court judge does and about his different perspectives on the law from going from public defender internship to being the other side and then being on the bench. When we return to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows, and with us today is Circuit Court Judge Jonathan Young of the 13th Judicial District, and he is Circuit Court Judge Part
2.
We mentioned that earlier when we first started the show, so let's just talk about that. Circuit Court Judge, what exactly is Circuit Court Judge when you're explaining it to the public?
Well, if you looked it up, it's sort of the circuit court is the oldest court around. I guess Chancery sort of started with it, but as you know, the circuit means basically the judge would get on his horse and ride the circuit. Our district used to be 13 counties, and we, I guess our judge got a little bit of a break because he would ride the riverboat from Salina down to, I guess, Lebanon. Then they would have court that way, but most of them would ride their horses throughout the circuit. A lot of the judicial districts in Tennessee are now one county judicial districts, but ours is still seven counties.
Aren't we lucky?
Yes, we're lucky, especially at campaign time.
Yeah.
But the circuit court, if you look it up, is basically called the general store of courts, or I like to call it the super Walmart. I think that kind of updates it a little bit. Is we have general jurisdiction, which means we can hear anything. The Chancery Court does a great job, but they can only hear civil cases.
Okay.
The criminal court, they do a great job, but they can only hear criminal cases. So the circuit court is blessed with general jurisdiction, so I'm responsible for all of the TCA code. And because our criminal court is backed up, I've been helping them out now. So
So you will see some criminal cases? I didn't know that. I'm learning something today, too.
Unfortunately, I am the only judge in our district that does both civil and criminal, but I've got some pretty harsh cases coming up. When I go talk to the school kids, they say, "Well, how long is the longest you've ever put anybody in jail?" And the short answer on that at the moment is 25 years in prison, and they seem to find that more colorful than I gave somebody. You know, the jury came back with $25,000 on a car wreck case.
Yeah,
it just seems to stick in their mind more. So at least I get to do that. But we do everything. You know, I had a case on the docket last week where we were arguing about a mobile home that's probably worth about $250. And then the next motion that came up was a medical malpractice case that's probably worth, if the plaintiff wins, about $3
million. Yeah.
So it keeps you interesting, which is the good thing about being a judge, at least a circuit judge, is because your day never gets boring. There's always something out there. And so many areas that I'm dealing with now as a judge that I didn't deal with as an attorney, because you kind of get your comfort zone as being an attorney and you learn as much as you can to help your clients, but something odd comes in and you're like, "Well, I know somebody else who practices in that," and go talk to them.
Yeah, but, and you can refer your clients. Yeah, yeah.
But as a judge, you're the only one up there, so you have to make a decision. So that's a bit daunting sometimes.
We're meeting with Judge Jonathan Young, Circuit Court Judge of the 13th Judicial District. Now that you know, I wasn't kidding. That was new to me. I didn't know you did both. I would imagine, Judge, that's hard. I mean, just like you said, you can, in most businesses, industries, you can kind of specialize in something. But here, I mean, that's a pretty broad brush right there, criminal to civil, and have to switch back and forth like you do, I guess. I mean, could it be one day you're doing something criminal court-wise, and then the next it's something civil?
Oh, yes.
Is it 90% civil? I mean,
it's probably 85 civil, 15 criminal.
Okay.
I handle the DUI cases in Putnam.
Is that considered criminal, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
And then any cases that the criminal court judges have conflicts with, because both of them were DAs, sometimes they have conflicts with cases, and then I try to hear those. It's a lot easier and cheaper for the public to try to keep a judge in district hearing the case, because if we don't, then they'll have to, the Supreme Court then has to appoint a judge from a different district to come here and hear that case. And basically that will tie up that judge for 2 or 3 days when he should be at his home county doing his work. So we try to help each other out and do everything we can. But yeah, it's interesting, especially when you may have a criminal, you know, a criminal docket and a civil docket in the same day, and you're trying to switch gears and try to figure out, you know, because the standard of proof's different and a lot of stuff is different, so it can be a little confusing.
Yeah, it would seem like it'd be very confusing. I mean, that's like switching gears altogether, you know.
Right.
That's wow. So now, are there times when you have to defer it to another district, like if it's spillover on criminal and
Generally not, because we have three civil judges, Judge Hollers and Chancellor Thurman. So sometimes, like, a former client will come through that I will see that'll be on the docket, and then I will conflict out of that case, and it'll go to Judge Hollers' docket or to Chancellor Thurman's docket. But sometimes we may have somebody like an attorney that's on the docket that practices before all of us, and then, of course, we will recuse ourselves on that because we want to appear fair to everybody.
So we mentioned part two, right? Is that what it's part
right,
two?
Right, part two.
Okay, so how is part two different from part one? Hollers being part one, correct?
Judge Hollers is part one. I am part two. I don't know that there's any mystery to it. I think her judgeship was first, and then this one was created second. Therefore, it's part one and part two. She gets the odd number of cases on the docket, and I get the even number of cases on the docket. So. It
almost sounds fancy, but it's so basic.
Exactly. It's a fancy term.
Oh, you're part two.
I'm just the second.
Tell me this. You mentioned this in the first portion of the show that you interned at the public defender's office, and then you go to law school and you graduate and you practice law, and now you sit behind the bench. I would imagine that gives you a real broad perspective of the legal system and the people in it, right?
It does. It does. And, you know, people always go and ask me what advice can you give me on a case? Well, my advice for anybody is to get a lawyer, because it's sort of like I use the baseball analogy. You know, I was really good in Little League. You know, I was an all-star and I was really good. But the Dodgers aren't going to call me up to come pitch for them this afternoon.
I mean, they're not scouting in Monterey?
They're not scouting in Monterey.
They weren't scouting in Livingston either.
Exactly. And, you know, you may be really good at arguing. People say, oh, I should be a lawyer. I'm really good at arguing. And you do that. But the law is so technical now. You know, there's things in general sessions court, it's kind of trial by ambush. You just show up and you try your case. But in circuit court, you've got to do a lot of work before you even get your case to trial. And if you don't know the rules of evidence, if you don't know the rules of procedure, you may have the greatest case ever. Mother Teresa may be your eyewitness who says, you know, exactly the way you said it. But if you can't put them on the stand, you lose your lawsuit. So, mm-hmm. So try to get that. And the other thing is, you know, I'm a Western fan. I guess my dad watching Westerns got me interested in that. But a lawyer is kind of like a hired gun. Mm-hmm. You know, the rancher hires him to come defend his territory. Well, a client comes and hires you to present their best case. So the only thing that a lawyer does is argue what you want them to argue. You know, okay. They may tell you differently. They may say, well, this is a losing argument. But as a judge, now you have to throw away that and you have to be fair to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of causes people some angst because, you know, the other side may not be ready. And it may not be their fault. You know, the lawyer may be sick. The parties may be sick. So you just have to be fair to both sides to do that. But, yeah, it's a daunting process, and it's a rewarding process. It's a great thing. I always tell my jurors that the American justice system is not perfect, but it's by far the best in the world to settle in your disputes. So.
Yeah, I would agree. In the way I see it, it tends to get bogged down with a lot of, you know, frivolous ones, but you know, I guess that's in any.
You know, that's the thing. The frivolous cases make the headlines.
Yeah.
But 90% of the time we're over here just marching along doing our job, you know, and that's what it is. And the good thing about the civil court is, you know, the criminal court guys, they make the headlines because they've got, you know, somebody who's done something bad. Most of the people I see are just regular people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
And like your grandfather.
Like my grandfather. That's exactly what I enjoy seeing. And that's a good thing that we're doing here is we're doing judicial settlement conferences. We've started that practice. And basically, it's like a free mediator.
Okay.
So if I'm not the one hearing
this. Is this something new, Judge?
It started with Judge Maddox and Judge Turnbull. But okay. We've started, but we're probably one of the few judicial districts in the state that does it.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
But if we're not the judge hearing your case, then we will agree to hear your case basically to try to get the parties to reach an agreement.
Well, Judge, believe it or not, I think we've run out of time.
Okay.
Judge Jonathan Young, Circuit Court Judge in the 13th Judicial District, thank you for joining us. I, just like you said, you're a judge and a half short, so for you to be able to squeeze some time to come talk to us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I do know how it is to campaign, so thank you for doing that. Thank you for serving, and thank you for serving. It was an 8-year term, right?
Right, right. We'll be up again in 22.
So. Well, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for what you're doing. And, folks, that was Local Matters.